All right, we are in the third part of a series called Five Things God Uses to Grow Your Faith. And if you weren't here last week or you missed last week's message, you really, really, really need to go watch it on or listen online, or you can buy it at our resource center at Connections, because all of these things build. And here's what we're talking about. Our observation, and after talking to hundreds and hundreds of people as a staff and doing leadership training and camps and leadership leaders from all over the country, we have observed that when people tell their story about their faith journey, five things keep popping up over and over and over in that experience. And so we built this whole series around these five things because, whether you know this or not, we have built all of our programming at this church and at all of our campuses around these five things. Let me give them to you real quick. The five things we think God uses over and over in a life and in every life to grow faith. Our practical biblical teaching, we talked about that last week. Then providential relationships, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Personal or private disciplines, we call them private disciplines. Personal ministry, and then circumstances that are kind of eye-opening, defining moments kind of circumstances. We refer to those as pivotal circumstances. So these are five things. Practical biblical teaching, the first time somebody hears somebody open the Bible and they go, wow, that's in there, that's a part of it. Providential relationships and the private disciplines, you know, when you learn how to read the Bible or pray on your own, and the first time you say, God, I'm going to serve somebody else, you know, those are kind of big moments. So these, and then the pivotal circumstances, these are five things that over and over and over we find out as people tell their story that God has used in a big, big way to kind of help grow their faith. And the reason big faith is important is because, as we said the very first week, faith is the key. Faith is the key to a strong relationship or a healthy relationship, whether that's marriage or between two people in the marketplace. And by faith, I mean trust or confidence. And as our confidence in God grows, our intimacy with God grows. And as our confidence in God grows, as our faith gets bigger, there's just more of a personal element to our faith. And the whole idea of a personal relationship with God through Christ becomes a reality. So God wants you to have big faith. And if you ask the question, how does God do that? In our observation, we just see these five things over and over and over. Now, this isn't a list you go out and do. You don't even find this list in the Bible anywhere. These are just things we've observed. Now, today I want to talk about the second one, providential relationships. And to get us started, I need you to help me out. Some of you are going to love this. Some of you are going to hate this. I'll be honest, if I were sitting where you are and somebody was up here doing what I'm doing and asked me to do what I'm about to ask you to do, I would be like, oh, brother. So just kind of go ahead and get that out of your system. I need you to participate, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to someone. You knew I was going to say that. And I want you to answer one of two questions. And I'd rather it be somebody who you don't know, which really freaks people like me out. So if you could just kind of get outside of yourself for a moment, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to someone, and I want you to answer this question. I want you to tell them, give them the name of someone that you feel like God used in a relationship with you to make your faith stronger or bigger. Now, I'd rather you not mention a family member. If you need to, that's fine. But the question is, who do you feel like, looking back on your life, did God bring along and kind of intersect your life with? And as a result of that relationship, it could be a conversation, it could be just watching their life, but as a result of that person, you feel like your faith in God got bigger. Now, the second question for some of you goes like this, and by some of you, I mean, if you're here today and you'd say, well, I can't play because I'm not really a person of faith, or I don't know, or I don't even, you know, I got here by accident, or I'm exploring it, I've got questions, I have some things, I have issues with the church, I have issues with the Bible, you know, you feel like you're not really one of us, and you're really more one of us than you know, because we all are like you. You just or at church, you don't normally go to church, and it's like a little uncomfortable, but you're surrounded by people who didn't used to go to church, so you're good. But you may not like this question, so here is the question I'd like for you to answer, if you would. I would like you to answer this question. Who in your life that you have a relationship with has possibly God used to cause you to have interest in faith, or to re-examine faith, or to give faith a chance, or to give God a chance? You're not there yet. But because it may be the person that brought you today, or somebody who invited you or told you about one of our churches, who do you feel like, you don't even have to say God did it because you're not sure, and I totally understand that, but who in your life, who do you have a relationship with that it seems like because of that relationship you have taken a new interest in, or you've become curious once again about faith? Okay, so those are two different questions, two different groups. You don't have to identify who you are. That's not a big deal. But I just want you to get in your mind that person and just share who that is and maybe what they said or what happened that caused you to begin to explore faith again or for your faith to grow. Okay, everybody ready? Has everyone identified someone that they would like to talk to that doesn't seem too threatening? No? Okay, ready? Go. Okay. Anybody make any new friends? No. My son is in 10th grade, and some days when I pick him up from school, I ask him this question that he hates. I go, Andrew, did you make any new friends today? It's like, you know, like anybody wants to do that. Anyway, so maybe you made some new friends. Okay, if I were to answer that question for you, three guys would come to mind, and I think I've probably talked about all three of these guys at some point if you've been with us for a while. The first one was a guy named Dan DeHaan. When I was in high school, Louis Giglio and I were friends, and a guy named Dan DeHaan, who was in his late 20s at the time, I believe, came alongside of us and for some reason took interest in us, took us camping, took us rafting, invited us to his home, invited us to sit down and do Bible study. We were so typical in terms of high school students. I look back at pictures of me and think, why would anyone speak to me, much less invite me to their home? I haven't quite figured that out. But Dan took interest in us, and here's what Dan did for my faith. When I was in high school, like many of you, when you were in high school, or maybe you still are, to me, Christianity was like for old people. It's like, okay, I need to live my life, do my thing, experience life, and then when I get old and don't really have many options anyway, then I need to probably embrace Christianity, because when you get that old, I mean, sin isn't probably even that attractive at that point. So I need to, am I the only one who's ever thought that? How many of you still think, no, okay. And so what Dan did for me and for Louie and for a bunch of us, he brought faith into a realm. Faith was bigger than just Bible stories. Faith was bigger than just adults. Faith was all about God, who had a plan for our lives, and discovering that plan and not missing that plan. Faith was daily. It was like we were experiencing a different kind of Christianity, a different kind of faith through Dan. And we admired him so much, and he was so cool. He was the first kind of cool Christian I ever met. And I don't know that that's really important, but for me as a high school student, I needed a different model than just my parents. And he was that person. And suddenly faith took on a different face because of this relationship with Dan DeHaan. Then after graduate school, I moved back to Atlanta and I met a fellow named Charlie Renfro. And you've heard me talk about Charlie before. He attends Buckhead Church. He's real involved there with his wife, Patty. And Charlie kind of took me under his wing. I don't even know how that relationship began. And every Tuesday morning for several years when we were both in town, which was most Tuesday mornings, we would meet at a restaurant and have breakfast. And he would just tell me stories of his life about how, and he was in the marketplace, business guy, very successful, how just his faith intersected with the marketplace, and how his faith intersected with relationships in the marketplace, and how his faith intersected with business, and what that looked like, and how do you make decisions. And he brought faith into a very, very different secular kind of realm, and I learned so much. And again, my faith was impacted by his life and by the decisions he made and by his convictions and, you know, walking away from things and embracing things. And he was so unashamed in his willingness to be a representative of Christ in an environment where people just didn't care. That was amazing for me. And then the third person is a guy named Steve Youngerberg. Steve came along, I think providentially, at the lowest point in my life, at a point in my life where I was just questioning all kinds of things. And Steve intersected my life and just decided he was going to stay in my life whether I wanted him in my life or not, honestly. And I was at the lowest point, and what Steve did for me is he helped me believe again. And I'm not talking about I had lost faith in God and I'm going to go live on the street and, you know, be a hippie. And I'm not talking about that. But because of circumstances, I had lost part of my faith. And you know what? Time would go by and I wouldn't call Steve, and he'd call me and he'd say, let's get together. And I'm like, well, I don't know. He'd go, no, Andy, I really think we need to get together. I'm like, you know, it's kind of none of your business. And he kind of knew it wasn't any of his business, but he decided to make my business and my crisis his business. And you know what? God used him in a powerful way to help kind of rescue an element and a part of my faith. I'll be forever grateful. And when I look back on those three relationships, I can easily associate them with the word providential. That from my perspective, looking back, it's as if God allowed these three individuals to intersect my life at critical, critical junctures. Now, I had a part. I could have said to Dan, no, I don't have time to hang out with some, you know, Christian guy. And I could have said, Charlie, no, I got to get to work. I don't have time to sit around and listen to your stories. And I could have said to Steve, look, I don't need counseling. I don't need a counselor. You know, I'll figure this out. I'm a guy. You know, I'll figure it out all by myself like guys do. Not so well, but we think we can. I mean, so I had a part. It's not like God forced his way into my life. But looking back, because I chose by the grace of God to participate and to lean into these relationships, even though oftentimes they were uncomfortable, because of that, looking back, I think they were providential relationships, and they shaped and in some cases rescued my faith. They shaped my view of God. They shaped my understanding of Christianity. They shaped my view of the world, and they helped me understand how the truth of God intersects and integrates into real life. I consider those providential relationships. Now, here's the thing, and you know this based on what you just shared with a stranger or with somebody that you knew already today, that whenever you hear a faith story, whenever you hear somebody talk about, here's kind of how I feel like God's worked and moved in my life, whenever you hear a story, you always hear about relationships. I've never heard, and maybe this is your story, but you're the exception, I've never heard, in isolation, on my own, I discovered God, grew in my faith in God, became everything God wanted me to be, and it had absolutely nothing to do with anyone in my life. I think if you think that's your story, you probably don't even know your own story very well. But generally speaking, when people tell their story, they talk about, they don't use this term, but they talk about providential relationships. And it sounds like this. You know, I was going along doing my own thing, and then I met this girl. I was going along kind of doing life, whatever, and then I met this guy. You know, everything was fine. Then these girls invited me to this, they call it a Bible study. I'm like, what is there to study, you know? But I didn't know anybody in the neighborhood, so I went and for the first time, you know. Or I went to college and I found out one of my professors was a Christian and I thought, well, he couldn't be very smart. And then as I got to know a professor, I realized, wow, there's something to this. Something about his life kind of captured my attention and, you know, began a relationship. Or I went to work for this company and they told me the boss was a Christian. And I'm like, what's that about? Or my manager, or my division or department director or vice president. And I saw this guy or I saw this woman live her life in a different kind of way. And as I got to know him or her, I looking back, I just feel like God just meshed our lives in that season of my life. And wow, my faith took off or my faith grew or that person rescued my faith. Whenever you hear faith stories, you hear about relationships. That's why we've made the case that one of the five things that God uses on a consistent basis in our lives to grow our faith are relationships that, looking back, seem to be providential relationships. And you know what? Again, sometimes it's a conversation. I mean, I've heard stories that their whole life changed around a conversation. For other people, it's a series of conversations. And then for some of us, we would say, you know what? It really wasn't anything they said. Their life, I just watched them live their life. I just watched them do marriage. I saw them prioritize their family. I saw them walk away from deals. I just, in our relationship, I saw them, you know, mirror a completely different value, set of values than what was in my life. And consequently, something happened in my faith and I began to think, maybe there is a God. Maybe there's a God that would intersect with my life. And for some of us, we'd say we came back to church, and some others of us would say we came for the first time because of a relationship with someone that, again, looking back providentially, it seems like they intersected with our life. And here's the principle and the point of today's message is simply this, that God uses human relationships to impact our faith in him. That's what it is, that God uses human relationships to blow up or influence or impact our faith in him. Now, the opposite is true as well. This is a principle, like all principles, that works both ways. Because the other question I could ask you to answer today that would be a little maybe more awkward to answer, what if I asked this question? Has looking back, has there been anyone in your life that looking back undermined your faith in God? Are there any relationships in the past, and as you look back, they kind of took the legs out from underneath your faith? As a result of that relationship, you believed less. As a result of that relationship, you found yourself further from God and further from where you wanted to be in life and relationships or financially or in marriage. Isn't it true that oftentimes relationships undermine and have the potential to undermine our faith? Isn't it true that if you were really honest, your greatest regrets, if you were to trace them back, you would trace them back to a relationship, a phone call you wish you'd never returned, a text message you wish you'd never responded to, an invitation you wish now you'd said no to, a date you wish you'd never gone out on, a business opportunity you wish you'd walked away from. That our greatest regrets, generally, if you trace them back, you trace them back to relationships. I don't meet many people, and I'm sure there is this case, you don't meet many people who say, you know, my greatest regret has to do with isolation. I got into trouble all by myself and no one else was involved. That's a little bit hard to do. I'm sure it's possible. The habits that you have such a hard time breaking were probably introduced to you through a relationship. Why? Because relationships are powerful things. And here's the takeaway. They intersect with our faith for good or for bad, but relationships intersect with our faith. And that's why we can count on this for the rest of our lives, that God will use and has the potential to use and is willing and desirous to use relationships in our lives in order to build our faith. Because the wrong kinds of relationships have the potential to undermine our faith. The right kinds of relationships have the potential to build and to grow our faith. Now, the challenge is, what do you do with that? I mean, I doubt too many people would argue with me. You might, but for the most part, we have enough history to see that there really aren't any neutral relationships. Everybody you come into contact with in some way either erodes your faith in God or helps to build it. But if that's the case, what do you do? I mean, a providential relationship isn't something you can go out and do. You can't go out and enter, you just can't do it. It kind of happens. But here's why I think this is so important and worth talking about. I do believe this is something we can leverage. And I believe by being aware of the significance of relationships as it relates to our faith, we can leverage this principle. You may have been raised in a religious tradition and you've never heard anyone talk about this. In your religious tradition, faith was all about a Sunday morning event. Faith was all about someone reading something to you. Faith was all about your prayer life. Faith was all about, you know, this personal, private Sunday kind of thing. So consequently, you've never asked this question. How can I leverage current relationships for the sake of building my faith? And if you've never asked that question, you may be missing out on one of the primary things God would like to do going forward to build and establish your faith. Now, the other reason I feel like we need to figure this out and figure out how to leverage this principle for our good is that, you see, every single day, you are around people who could care less about your faith. You're around people every single day that have the potential, even though it may not be a reality yet, who have the potential to undermine your faith. And the other thing is this, every single day we live in a culture that is not pushing us toward greater faith in God, but away from it. Every single day we are introduced to circumstances and events and things on the news that remind us or make us think maybe God's not in control. Maybe I can't trust God. Maybe God's not faithful. Maybe I can't wake up every single day confident that God is with me in spite of what I see. I mean, the current of our culture is never toward good things. It's always toward bad things. And my nature tends to go that direction. I mean, maybe it's just me, but I'm rarely tempted to do the right thing. I mean, my temptations, and rarely do I think, well, you know, I really wasn't going to be kind, but I just gave in and was kind anyway. That's not my experience. You know, I really didn't want to do the right thing, but I just couldn't help myself. I did the right thing. Okay. My nature and our culture causes me to drift away from confidence and faith in God. So that being the case, if there is a leverage point relationally that will help build and establish and create greater confidence in God, I don't want to miss it. And here's what I believe is true, and I'm going to try to make this case in a minute. I think there are things that we can do to work with our Heavenly Father to create what you might consider, looking back, to be providential relationships. Because in every relationship you're in, you have a choice to make. And it could be that there are relationships that God is teeing you up for right now, and if you're not careful, you'll miss them. I imagine that most of us could look back on a time in our life, if you've lived long enough, to where if you kind of accept this whole idea that God may bring people into our lives for a purpose, I bet many of us could tell stories of, you know, looking back a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, there was a person who kind of came crashing into my life in a unique way. There was a person that was constantly trying to talk to me about God. You know, there was that person who kept wanting to have lunch with me. There was that couple that kept inviting me to church. And I just kept putting them off. Perhaps that was God's way of trying to get your attention through this principle, through a relationship. But you had a choice to make, and you decided to walk away. What I want to try to encourage you to think about today is, let's not do that anymore. If relationships can be providential, if God uses people to pump up and build and create greater faith, then we need to ask the question, how do I leverage that? How do I go another season of my life and miss that? I want to show you a couple of passages of scripture. Actually, they're really just two verses. One's in the Old Testament and one's in the New Testament. And all these verses, the only reason I'm showing you these verses is they reiterate for us what our experience already tells us. That God uses people, that God uses relationships to impact and to grow our faith and to impact and grow our expressions of faith. The first one is found in the book of Proverbs, and this is a verse I think we've talked about before sometime in the past. I lose track. Proverbs 13:20, and this is out of the TNIV. This is what it says. It says, walk with the wise, and in the original language, this is not a command, it's more an observation. It says, he who walks with the wise, walk with the wise and become wise, for, explanation, a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, you don't have to be a Christian or a religious person or even that insightful of a person to understand the nature and the relationship reflected in this verse. That he who walks with the wise becomes wise, the companion of fools suffers harm. This goes back to what I said a minute ago, that your greatest regret was in the presence of other people, that your greatest regret stems back to, and you could trace your way back to, a relationship. But here's the promise of this verse. The wisest man in the world says this, that the people you choose to surround yourself with have the potential to impact your spirituality. That the people that you choose to spend time with, because of the nature of what wisdom means in the Old Testament, that if you choose to walk with wise people, do life with wise people, surround yourself with the right kinds of people, that God uses that relationship to create something good in you. And in this case, in an Old Testament context, wisdom. That there is a spiritual component. And again, this, for some of you, this is not new. For others of you, this is a little bit of a new category. There is a spiritual component to relationships. And there has the potential to be an incredible spiritual component to relationships, because God uses people to pump up and to grow our faith. The second verse is from the New Testament. And when I was in high school, we kind of had a joke about this verse. I'll see if you can figure it out. Do not, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals. And then we would say, yeah, but they have great music. No one, anyone get that? No. Okay. Yeah, three people here from the 70s. Okay, great. It was a band. Okay, bad company. All right, so that was our deal. They may corrupt good character, but rock on. You know, anyway, bad company till the day I die. Anyway, sorry. So the point Paul is making is simply this. And again, this is a verse that if you have kids, you think, oh yeah, I need to hang that in my kid's room. You know, bad company corrupts good morals. But what is he saying? He's saying this, look, that human relationships can have a negative spiritual impact. That human relationships can have a negative spiritual impact. Now, you may not be a God or religious person. You know relationships can have a negative impact. But God, who loves you and has invited you to call him Father, and who cares about your character and cares about your morality and cares about the consequences of decisions, says, you know, it's more than simply common sense. There is a spiritual component to this. That the wrong kinds of influences impact you in a way that create the wrong kinds of outcomes and the wrong kinds of behaviors. Why? Because there is a spiritual nature to relationships. And just as he who walks with the wise, or she who walks with the wise, has the potential to grow wise, so in the same way, the companion of fools suffers harm, and in the same way, bad company corrupts good morals. Now, again, we've all seen that in some way. The question is, if this is a principle that works for us or against us, if this is a principle that God wants to use to leverage, or if God wants to leverage a relationship in order to blow up your faith, what do we do? What is our part? And this is why we around here at all of our campuses and all of our partnerships and, you know, all over the country where we're doing church together, this is why we are such fanatics about creating relational environments. I mean, we're just crazy about this. We spend a ton of time, money, and energy around trying to get people in circles and out of rows. And here's why. Not because we think we can create a providential relationship. We can't. But here's what we've learned we can do. We can create the potential for a providential relationship. If you'll allow us to, we have the ability to create the potential for one of those God meetings, one of those God relationships, to where you look back a year from now or 6 months from now and go, wow, I met her, I met him, I met them, we had this in common, and when I heard their story, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about life in completely different terms. Why? Because of a relationship. And we know from experience that we can help create, kind of tee up those kinds of relationships if you cooperate and if I cooperate. This is why, if you've been here for very long and seen some of our baptisms, when you hear the baptism stories, you always hear people talk about other people. Rarely, or maybe never, have I heard a baptism story that said, and then I met God and God revealed himself to me and me and God are cool and I just want to thank, well, I don't really want to thank anybody. I just want to thank God because it's all about me and God. Never. What you hear is, There was an individual. There was a person. There was a group. There was a starting point leader. There was an inside-out group. There was a community group. There was a ladies group. Somewhere along the way, every one of these individuals says, part of what blew my faith up, part of what gave me the confidence to wake up every day and live my life as if God knows my name, is because of what I learned and what I saw in the lives of these other people. That's why the way you, that's what I mean when I say leveraging this principle. The way we leverage this is to be intentional, is to be intentional about putting ourselves in environments where God may create a providential relationship, a providential meeting, a mind-boggling, wow, I can't believe I've gone this long without knowing that. I can't, you know, I can't imagine having lived life without meeting you and our lives intersecting. That God is willing and able to do that, but we have a part to play because you always have a choice in relationships. And the part that you can play and that I can play is by being intentional about putting ourselves in a position where those relationships might happen. That's why if you're single, you need to go to Fusion. You say, well, I went to Fusion once. You need to stay involved in Fusion. You never, because that's what, you know what you're saying? You're saying, God, I can't create a relationship. I can't make something happen. But God, I'm going to do my part. And I just trust that you'll blow my faith up big through some relationships that I've yet to establish. This is why if you're a married couple, you need to be somehow in a community group. If you're exploring faith, please just don't sit here and listen to me preach week after week. Please get in a starting point conversation. Because in a starting point conversation, you don't simply get content. You meet people and you interact and you begin relationships. And God uses relationships to blow up and grow up our faith. You know that to be the case because you've seen the other side of relationships. This is why if you have kids, listen, if you have children, you need to get them in a circle where another adult is speaking into their lives. I promise you the day will come when you wish they were in that environment. But I also promise you this, if you wait until you feel the need for it, it is too late, baby, it is too late. You can just put a period behind that, okay? It's too late. What you need, the best thing you can do for kids is to get them in a group of relationships that as time goes by, God may providentially connect them to a group leader or to someone in that group that gives them a brand new vision of faith and of life. And you can't wait till the 11th grade. Now is the time to do that. It's not about a church program. It's about teeing up potential relationships that God may use in an extraordinary way to blow up and to pump up somebody's faith. Why? Because God uses our human relationships to grow our faith in Him. God uses human relationships to grow our faith in Him. It's just that simple. Now, there's a flip side to all this. You see, you may need to be intentional about getting in a place where God can connect you with some other people to grow up your faith. You know, for some of you, it has nothing to do with church. For some of you, it's something in your neighborhood or something at work or something in the, you know, in the community somewhere that you've been invited to. And you think, this is what you think. You think, you know, I really should, but I'm not going to. I really should, I really ought to. I know that would probably help me, but I'm not going to. See, as you feel that tug, it's bigger than a program. It's bigger than a Bible study. God may want to use relationships to do something big in your life. But the flip side is this. Your issue may not be the intentionality to get in a place where you build relationships because you may already be doing that. For some of us, the issue is, are we willing to be available to God to be that person in someone else's life? Let me tell you what I mean. For some of you, just about every night when you pray or every time when you pray, you find yourself praying for someone who needs God or who needs something new in their life or who, you know, needs to become a Christian or I don't know how you pray for those people. And it's not that you think you're better than them. It's not that you're being judgmental. But I bet in this room, many of us know people and their circumstances break our hearts. That when you think about them, you're concerned for them. You're concerned about the relationships that they're in. You're concerned about the direction they're going. You're concerned about the way they talk about their marriage. You're concerned about the fact that they never talk about their marriage. You're concerned about their humor. You just listen to them at work or you listen to them in the neighborhood and you're just grieved and you're just burdened and you think, oh, they just seem so far from God. And you've prayed for them. And you've talked about them in a prayer request kind of way, and you have, you know, you have all the feelings and you know all that thing, but you have never intentionally come crashing into their life. And you know why you don't? The same reason I hesitate. because it's none of my business. But let me tell you about providential relationships. Providential relationships often start around awkward moments. Providential relationships often start with awkward conversations. Providential relationships often start with, okay, I know this is none of my business, but I couldn't help but hear. I know that you haven't really asked me about this. I know you probably don't think I know anything about this. I know this is awkward, but I can't just sit back and be concerned. I can't just sit back and pray. I don't want to just stand back here and gossip. I don't want to go, well, whatever, it's her life, his life. At the risk of what little relationship we have, I want to have an awkward conversation. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, God, I'm putting myself out there. Because if you want to intersect these two lives, I'm available, even if it creates an awkward situation. Why? Because God uses human relationships to do something in our hearts as it relates to faith. One of the legendary stories on our staff is there's a lady on our staff who she and her husband were not involved in church anywhere. Didn't go, didn't care, not really interested. And there was a teenage kid that they knew through another relationship that decided they needed to start going to church. Teenage guy. So he started inviting them to church and they just kind of laughed. Then he started putting CDs in their mailbox of the sermons. And they would get them out and just laugh and throw them away. And then he'd put other ones in there and he kept sending them and giving them CDs. And they were like, who is this kid? What's his problem? And they never listened. They just threw them all away. And he was like a joke. In fact, they even had a little nickname. The two of them called him behind his back. Just kind of make fun of him. Because who is this kid? And you know what he did? He didn't give up. Now, he could have said, Lord, please help such couple. Send somebody in their life that's older and wiser because I'm just a teenage kid. But you know what? He decided, I'll just create some awkward moments. And they were really awkward moments, okay? Because every time they'd see him coming, they would say his little nickname and they would smile and just laugh about him behind his back and throw away all my good sermon CDs. Anyway, some of them deserve to be thrown away. So time goes by. And this kid doesn't give up. And then she meets somebody else who goes here. And they invite her to church. And she's like, you know, there's this kid, you know, who keeps. And finally she decides, okay, I'll go and just, would everybody leave me alone? And she shows up and she loved it. And a few weeks later, she brings her husband. Now she's on our staff and they were in community group with us and shared that story. And they're both just loving God and loving this and things are great. And you know what happened? It didn't happen because God showed up in the middle of the night. You know, it's because a kid decided, you know what? I'm not just going to be concerned and pray. I'm going to do something. And then God moved somebody else to do something. And through those relationships, they put themselves in an environment where God began to do something in their hearts. Now, there are lots and lots of stories like that. In fact, for some of us, that's our story, isn't it? Because this person, this couple, this lady, this guy, this person decided to kind of intersect our lives whether we wanted them to or not. And there were some awkward moments. And God blessed those moments. And now looking back, we say, you know what? Even though it started off as a that's none of your business, looking back, that was providential. I thank God for him. I thank God for her. I think God brought them along at just the right time. And as a result, I have faith again. I have faith for the first time. My life is different because of what I see as a providential intersecting of lives. So that's my challenge. Some of you need to be more intentional. You need to put yourself out there and take some risk and get in some structured environments where God might want to do something relationally. For others of you, you need to be more available. You need to go ahead and teach another round of Starting Point, even though you've done one or you've been putting it off or you don't think you're smart enough. You need to get involved in some sort of structured way of leadership, or probably more to the point, you need to go have an awkward conversation. You need to introduce an awkward topic. You need to start a, I know this is none of my business, conversation. You may need to write that letter or send that gift, or you can just start putting CDs, you know, in mailboxes. I got plenty of extra if you need to just start putting them in. But the point is this, here's the thing. This is a principle that works all the time, and we either work with it and benefit from it, or we ignore it and miss out. When I used to teach teenagers a lot, one of the things that I would say, and this is a big part of our curriculum here with our high school students at all of our campuses, I would say this, that your friends, I'd say this to kids, your friends determine the direction and quality of your life. Your friends determine the direction and quality of your life. Your friends determine the direction and quality of your life. And if you're a parent and you're going, oh, that's good, I'm going to use that, pause, because it's true of you and it's true of me, that our friends determine the direction and quality and the depth of our faith in God, because God uses relationships to impact and to grow our faith in Him. The question is, how do you need to leverage this in your life? Do you need to leverage it by being intentional about some new relationships and giving God an opportunity? Or do you need to leverage this by being more available as a person who's willing to intersect with a person who maybe needs to hear what you have to say and maybe needs to know what you've known for a long time, who maybe needs to hear your perspective on what's going on in their life? God wants our faith big, because big faith means great confidence, and that kind of faith and confidence leads to intimacy, so that when you hear us talking about a growing relationship with Christ, this is right at the heart of all of that. And one of the ways that God grows our faith is through relationships. But we have to choose to cooperate. And for some of us, it means cooperating by being more intentional about moving into those relationships. For others of us, it's about being more available to be used by God in the life of a person who needs to have a relationship they look back on 6 months or a year from now and say, wow, who look back on and tell us about it from baptism and say, wow, God brought him, you. God brought her, you. God brought them, you and your husband, or you and your wife. God brought them into my life at a critical time. I'm so glad they decided to make my business their business. I'm so glad they invited me for the fifth time. I'm so glad they didn't give up. I'm so glad they created an awkward moment. Because looking back, the intersection of my life with their life is what began me or started me on this journey of faith and blew my faith up big. God uses relationships to grow our faith. God wants to use your relationships to grow yours. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Dan DeHaan. Thank you for Charlie. Thank you for Steve in my life. And there are others. Father, thank you that by your grace, I was willing to lean into those relationships and not away. Father, on behalf of everybody listening to this message, thank you for the people, the men and women, in some cases parents and grandparents, older brothers and sisters, teachers, small group leaders, Sunday school teachers, you know, whoever it was, neighborhood people, association people, people at work, bosses, teachers, Lord, thank you that their lives intersected with our lives. We're better for it. And looking back, that was a you thing. That was a God thing. And Father, wherever we are on the continuum, for those of us who need to venture out a little bit further into that, just give us the courage to do that. Father, for the person who has heard about Starting Point 100 times and every time says, I ought to do it, and they haven't. I ought to do it, and they haven't. They ought to do it, and they haven't. I pray that today they just make up their mind, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give God a chance relationally. Father, for those of us who, our hearts are broken because of what we see going on in the lives of friends or people that aren't even friends, but we know their names, their acquaintances. I pray that we wouldn't be content to simply have broken hearts, that we would make ourselves available to you, to maybe be that individual that is part of a providential relationship, a divine encounter, not because we're smart and great and spiritual, but simply because we've said, God, use us. So Father, wherever this message lands with us today, please give us the wisdom to know what to do and then the courage to do it. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.